and gentlemen, good morning. It is marvelous, magnificent Monday, March 5th, March 5th, 2012. This is Paul Hutchings calling in from Southeast Idaho, excited, fired up to be alive on this Monday morning, rested up from the weekend, ready to go, ready to move forward in life, ready to move forward in business, ready to make some great things happen in my life. And I know if you're on this call, you are in the same situation. You're ready to move forward and make some amazing things happen in your life and the lives of those that you are in contact with. Was that Mr. Doc Fran? Okay, I thought I heard Doctor. Good morning. Well, folks, we're going to jump right into the content of the call today, and I am thrilled. We are going back through. We're jumping into the meat and potatoes, the secrets that will get us, every person on this call, to anywhere we want to go, the book Think and Grow Rich by Mr. Napoleon Hill. And we're going into the first part of Chapter 1 today, which is very short but very powerful, very profound. It's entitled The Man Who Thought His Way into Partnership with Thomas A. Edison. Truly, thoughts are things, and powerful things at that, when they are mixed with definiteness of purpose, persistence, and a burning desire for their translation into riches or other material objects. A little more than 30 years ago, Edwin C. Barnes discovered how true it is that men really do think and grow rich. His discovery did not come about at one sitting. It came little by little, beginning with a burning desire to become a business associate of the great Edison. One of the chief characteristics of Barnes' desire was that it was definite. He wanted to work with Edison, not for him. Observe carefully the description of how he went about translating his desire into reality, and you will have a better understanding of the 13 principles which lead to riches. When this desire or impulse of thought first flashed into his mind, he was in no position to act upon it. Two difficulties stood in his way. He did not know Mr. Edison, and he did not have enough money to pay his railroad fare to Orange, New Jersey. These difficulties were sufficient to have discouraged the majority of men from making any attempt to carry out the desire. But his was no ordinary desire. He was so determined to find a way to carry out his desire that he finally decided to travel by blind baggage rather than be defeated. To the uninitiated, this means that he went to East Orange on a freight train. He presented himself at Mr. Edison's laboratory and announced he had come to go into business with the inventor. In speaking of the first meeting between Barnes and Edison years later, Mr. Edison said, "He stood there before me, looking like an ordinary tramp, but there was something in the expression of his face which conveyed the impression that he was determined to get what he had come after. I had learned from years of experience with men that when a man really desires a thing so deeply that he is willing to stake his entire future on a single turn of the will in order to get it, he is sure to win. I gave him the opportunity he asked for because I saw he had made up his mind to stand by until he succeeded. Subsequent events proved that no mistake was made. Just what young Barnes said to Mr. Edison on that occasion was far less important than that which he thought. Edison himself said so. It could not have been the young man's appearance which got him his start in the Edison office, for that was definitely against him. It was what he thought that counted. If the significance of this statement could be conveyed to every person who reads it, there would be no need for the remainder of this book. I'm going to read that again. He said it was what he thought that counted. And if the significance of this statement could be conveyed to every person who reads it, there would be no need for the remainder of this book. Barnes did not get his partnership with Edison on his first interview. He did get a chance to work in the Edison offices at a very nominal wage, doing work that was unimportant to Edison, but most important to Barnes, because it gave him an opportunity to display his merchandise where his intended partner could see it. Months went by. Apparently, nothing happened to bring the coveted goal which Barnes had set up in his mind as his definite major purpose. But something important was happening in Barnes' mind. He was constantly intensifying his desire to become the business associate of Edison. Psychologists have correctly stated that when one is truly ready for a thing, it puts in its appearance. Barnes was ready for a business association with Edison. Moreover, he was determined to remain ready until he got that which he was seeking. He did not say to himself, "Ah, well, what's the use? I guess I'll change my mind and try for a salesman's job." But he did say, "I came here to go into business with Edison, and I'll accomplish this end if it takes the remainder of my life." He meant it. What a different story men would have to tell if only they would adopt a definite purpose and stand by that purpose until it had time to become an all-consuming obsession. Maybe young Barnes did not know it at the time, but his bulldog determination, his persistence in standing back of a single desire, was destined to mow down all opposition and bring him the opportunity he was seeking. When the opportunity came, it appeared in a different form and from a different direction than Barnes had expected. That is one of the tricks of opportunity. It has a sly habit of slipping in by the back door, and often it comes disguised in the form of misfortune or temporary defeat. Perhaps this is why so many fail to recognize opportunity. Mr. Edison had just perfected a new office device known at that time as the Edison Dictating Machine, now the Ediphone. His salesmen were not enthusiastic over the machine. They did not believe it could be sold without great effort. Barnes saw his opportunity. It had crawled in quietly, hidden in a queer-looking machine, which interested no one but Barnes and the inventor. Barnes knew he could sell the Edison Dictating Machine. He suggested this to Edison and promptly got his chance. He did sell the machine. In fact, he sold it so successfully that Edison gave him a contract to distribute and market it all over the nation. Out of that business association grew the slogan, "Made by Edison and installed by Barnes." The business alliance has been in operation for more than 30 years. Out of it, Barnes has made himself rich in money, but he has done something infinitely greater. He has proved that one really may think and grow rich. How much actual cash that original desire of Barnes has been worth to him, I have no way of knowing. Perhaps it has brought him $2 or $3 million. But the amount, whatever it is, becomes insignificant when compared with the greater asset he acquired in the form of definite knowledge that an intangible impulse of thought can be transmuted into its physical counterpart by the application of known principles. Barnes literally thought himself into a partnership with the great Edison. He thought himself into a fortune. He had nothing to start with except the capacity to know what he wanted and the determination to stand by that desire until he realized it. He had no money to begin with. He had but little education. He had no influence, but he did have initiative, faith, and the will to win. With these intangible forces, he made himself number one man with the greatest inventor who ever lived. I love reading this story. I truly do, because it illustrates, and I really want to mastermind on this and pull out the principles that we can from this story, because it contains so much. But one of the things that I get so fired up about listening to this story is I'm reminded of the fact that one truly may think and grow rich. If you have the power to think, if you're on this line and you realize that you have the power, you have the ability to put a thought in your head, then, my friend, you have the power to grow rich, and that excites me. So let's go ahead and open up the lines. What I really want to do today, and we don't have to belabor this. We don't have to, take the full hour if we don't need it. This is a short message this morning, but there are some principles in this story that I really believe that we can pull out and apply directly into our lives to really, start to get a foundation laid for the rest of this book and for the things that we're going to achieve in our life. So, star 6 to unmute your line. Would love to hear your thoughts on this chapter as we dig out the gems that are contained therein. Star 6, anyone want to jump out? Did anything in this story stick out to you?
Hey, Paul, Mike Nelson.
Hey, good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I'll tell you what, talk about the beginning of success. This chapter really digs in and gets it. If you have your major definite purpose written down and recited every day at least twice and try and figure out a way to use it in to conversations, and you truly believe, like the chapter is saying, if you truly believe what you desire is obtainable, it's going to happen. And I just love this. I mean, you can think and grow rich. Talk about powerful words. It is incredible.
Mike, I appreciate you pointing that out. So Mike has pulled out one of probably the number one step that each person needs to take in order to pull riches into their lives, and that is to select a definite major purpose. And I want to share just one quick experience. I was talking to one of my new business partners now in my primary network marketing company a few days ago, and this was before this individual joined. And if he's on the line, I'm not sharing this story to demean him in any way, but simply to illustrate a point. And I was talking to this individual, and he was telling me that he, was in several companies, and his strategy was kind of to throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what was going to stick. And I said to him, I said, do you want to know a little secret? I said, nothing is going to stick unless you make it stick. What is your definite major purpose? Where are you going? Where is your flag planted? So secret number one, absolutely select a definite major purpose. And that is what Barnes did. His definite major purpose was to go into business with Edison. That's what he wanted. That's what he was willing to, he laid all his cards on the table. He was all in. He was going to go into business with Edison, and what a different story men and women would have to tell if only we would adopt a definite major purpose. So that is definitely principle number one, Mike. Thank you for pointing that out. Definite major purpose. Do you know where you're going? Anything
hey,
else?
Paul,
what else can
morning.
We pull out? Morning, Doc.
What I'd like to do rather than say something is focus people's attention on the timeline in the story, and where does that take us?
The timeline, you're meaning the timeline, Edwin Barnes' timeline from when he started to?
Yes.
When he
the
got,
timeline,
great point.
Inherent chapter, and what are the implications of that?
Any thoughts, folks? Timeline. Does it say in here how long it took? turn back through the chapter here.
No dead spots in the conversation. Let's fire it up. Let's keep this thing rocking and rolling until you find the timeline. Let me get in here real quick. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Fantastic. When you find the timeline, let me know. But what I really love about this is that I heard somebody said one time, it said 95% of achieving anything that you want is knowing what you want and willing to pay the price, to get it. Willing to pay the price. Keep on keeping on till you get what you want. You're going to get what you're looking for. It's amazing. You're going to get what you're going for, what you're going at. What's interesting about the whole idea of thought, people dismiss it, dismiss thought, and realize actually there's so much riches in thought. I don't remember who said it, and he said the things that really come to us for free are actually our most valuable possession. And so since we're accustomed to free being free, we don't really take it that seriously. But the fact is, the opposite is really the most important thing, really true, because your thoughts are the most powerful resources you have. It's amazing. I think it was Norman Vincent Peale said when he said he learned it at a later age and was wishing he had acquired this skill and understanding earlier, because he said if you think in negative terms, you will get negative results. If you think in positive terms, you will get positive results. I can't express any more how powerful that is. It's everything. You combine that with the Golden Rule and the Sermon on the Mount, and you really don't need to read any books.
Huh? We're getting some background noise. Somebody's coughing there. If you could press *6 to mute your line, we'd really appreciate it. Sorry, Rick.
Yeah. But that's pretty much it's so powerful. The whole book I think Melvin Shaw mentioned this book one time and said if you understand this book and apply its principles, man, the world is your oyster. It's incredible. It's truly incredible. It's unbelievable. And I can tell, Paul, just by the way you read this book, it's like a second nature to you. It's something about this book, when you're reading it, you yourself reading this book, you know this book like the back of your hand. You can tell that you practice, you breathe, you sleep, you breathe this book. It's unbelievable. And I thank you. I appreciate you all.
Thank you, Rick. I really appreciate those comments. And I don't know it by the back of my hand yet. I really want to. I am a student, and I'm glad that everyone on this line is, committed to being a student with me, because this book will change lives. I did find there is a line
here. Good
morning,
Paul.
Hey, good morning. Who's that?
Lori Larson in Stuart, Florida.
Hi, Lori.
Yeah, I just wanted to share an experience. Been in the company for about 8 months now, and I've been, doing various different things of marketing, and I just got the magnets for my car, so I'm excited about that. But I've been doing all along the business cards in parking lots and dropping them off and putting them in the window and stuff like that. And never got a peep out of anybody over all this time. And I had a wonderful weekend. I was in West Palm this weekend for a wonderful religious convention that I attend. And I got back last night. It was about 5 or 6 o'clock, and I got a phone call. And it was this gentleman. He said he received my business card on his car. And he invited me to a seminar tonight, and it's a wine tasting thing. And he's married, so I know it's not, he doesn't have alternative motives, which sometimes men do, which is, for single women, it's a problem sometimes. But I've been married 30 years happily, and he wants me as my guest, and he's interested with his group in what we're doing. So I'm very excited. I didn't give up, and just got to keep trying it. What's working for others is going to eventually work for you if you don't give up.
Thank you, Lori. That's a great story and a great example and a great illustration, I think, of what we're talking about here. Definite major purpose. And Doc Fran, you know, his question is, what's the timeline here, specifically in this story? Does it happen instantly when you select your definite major purpose? Is it, you know, you go to bed one night, you're thinking of your definite major purpose, $500, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, and the next day, bam, it's there? In the case of Edwin C. Barnes, as in the case of, you know, Lori's story, Edwin C. Barnes, it says in here that months went by with no apparent hint that his goal was going to come into reality. He went to work for Edison, low-level job, and remember, his goal was to go into business with Edison, not work for him, but to go into business with him. Months and months and months went by with no indication that he was going to get his major definite purpose. So very, very important point there.
Hey, Paul, it's Dana in Arizona.
Hey, Dana, good morning.
Good morning. I want to talk about what Doc brought up, because there is a timeline in here, and I can probably put together the first couple of three pieces or so, but it started off with a desire that Barnes had at the beginning, and he also had that desire while he was living under certain conditions, and the conditions that he lived under was, number one, he didn't even know Edison, and number two, he didn't even have the money to get on the train and go see him. So he was in dire straits, and yet he had the desire, and he was able to overcome those conditions by having that desire and acting upon it. And then you look at what he does, and the position that he takes with Edison is a very nominal position, I think, the way the book puts it. And that position, probably minimum wage of some kind, but it wasn't definitely his definite major purpose that he was trying to achieve, but it was a start. And so there's very few times that somebody is able to come into riches at a very quick pace. I'll tell you a little story. My dad was one of nine kids, and they moved here from Scotland in 1914. And his brother one day was walking down the street, and a guy walked up to him and said, "I need somebody to manage this motorhome company for me, and I'm going to choose you," and handed him $150,000. And, you know, he never really did anything with it. He managed the company, but he came into the riches so quickly that he didn't know how to handle it. And that's evidence of the fact that people who play the lottery all the time, and I'm not putting anybody down that does, but they come into riches so fast, and it's a known fact that in a year or two, they're bankrupt again because they never had the talents or were never taught how to handle money. And so what we see Barnes going through is a process. And as he gets more acquainted with the company and Edison, then those other opportunities start to reveal themselves to him, and then he's able to act on those in a positive manner. But he had to go through the trenches first and be faithful in the small things, and then more responsibility was given to him. So I think that's the timeline, or at least part of it, that Doc is taken out of that, and it's pretty amazing. Thanks.
Dana, thank you very much for those comments. Star 6, if you've come on and shared, please mute your line when you're done. The principle here, folks, I really like to pull out principles, because principles are truths that each of us can apply into our lives. So as we've talked this morning so far, principle number one is definite major purpose. And I believe principle number two is persistence, the ability to stand by your definite major purpose through apparent setbacks, through obstacles, through different things that will come, we have to have that stickability, you know, that ability to stand by and just stand through that persistence. So that's I think that's principle number two that we're talking about here. Definite major purpose and principle number two, persistence.
Hey,
who's next, Star Six?
Paul?
Yes, sir.
One of the reasons that Think and Grow Rich is such an important book to read is it's kind of like the automobile. And let's say the major thing in terms of the automobile would be the wheels, because if everything else, it wouldn't make any difference. Without the wheels, it's not going anywhere. But and let's call the wheels the positive attitude. But if you don't have the starter, and you don't have the brakes, and you don't have the engine, if you don't have the fuel, if you don't have all those other ingredients, you still aren't going anywhere. And so I think a lot of people might make the mistake in thinking that all I've got to do is think a certain way. But there's other elements, such as you're mentioning now. Someone mentioned desire, and then you can get into burning desire, and then you can get into persistence and committed and self-esteem, and there's so many things that are necessary to make all of that come together. And so any of us that think that we're going to just do one facet of this and it's going to happen, it's not. And in the process of bringing all those things together, that's where the time element comes in. And there's the thinking process. There's the learning process. It's not just that simple, and sometimes a little luck comes in play. So there's a lot to understand and comprehend to really digest all of this. Back to you, Paul.
Melvin, you're absolutely right. It is definitely a formula. It's another analogy would be you're putting together a puzzle, and you've got this blank board, and what you're doing is you're fitting the pieces in. And this book, Think and Grow Rich, does give us the pieces, but we've got to put the puzzle together in our own lives. And you, Melvin, mentioned one of the other very, very key pieces to this puzzle. You know, we've talked about definite major purpose. We've talked about persistence. And, Melvin, you mentioned desire and burning desire. You know, one of the things that I mentioned on this call before, 7 years ago I read this book, 7 or 8 years ago, and I remember reading the book, and I remember selecting a definite major purpose, and that definite major purpose was I wanted to make $3,000 a month residual income. 7 years ago I just found a piece of paper a couple of weeks ago that had it written down from when I wrote that down 7 years ago. But do you know that it did not come into my life? That $3,000, I selected the definite major purpose. Well, it was 8 years later that finally came into my life. Why was it? Well, I remember repeating to myself my major purpose for a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, and then I forgot. I had maybe a wish. It wasn't a desire, and it certainly wasn't the burning desire that Melvin mentioned, that he pointed out here, that Napoleon talks about here. So definite major purpose, desire, and even a burning desire. That's a key phrase, my friends, a burning desire. And I think that Napoleon, even later on in the book, calls it a white hot burning desire and persistence. Three very, very key principles here.
Well, then. Hey, Paul?
Yes, sir.
John from Chicago. You know, there was something else that came right after the burning desire, and then I thought it was really interesting, is that it says when opportunity came, it appeared in a different form and from a different direction that Barnes had expected. It would suggest that he was looking for the opportunity to come, although it came in a different form. A lot of times opportunity is like that. It always disguises itself. People have a lot of times, they don't recognize it when it comes along. They have a desire, they have the determination and persistence, but they don't recognize the opportunity when it comes along. I thought that was interesting, that when it came, it wasn't in the form he expected, but he took advantage of it. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for pointing that particular gem out, because it's so true. Not only does opportunity sometimes come from different forms and from a different direction, sometimes it disguises itself as defeat or failure or temporary setback. And I've got to share with you a little bit more of my personal story. You know, last year I set this definite major purpose when I went through this book, and I wanted to make X amount of dollars residual income. And I had this company that I was working with, and I was moving along, and I was working hard, and I was building my burning desire, and I was focusing on my definite major purpose, and I was being persistent. Well, one of the things that happened in this company was that the owner came out and enhanced the compensation plan. We all know how those enhancements go, right? To where my residual income in that company was actually cut by 2/3. Major setback, right? Major setback. And I had another individual, Mr. Doc Friend, who's on this line, give me a call and start telling me about something that I needed to take a look at. And here I was in this defeat, this setback. I'd been working on my definite major purpose for about 7 months solid, just working really, really hard on it. And I thought I was moving in one direction. I had this temporary setback, this wind knocked out of my sails, like somebody punched me in the gut, you know, when the company owner changed that compensation plan. And then right in the midst of that temporary setback, that temporary defeat, something came into my life that was from another direction. It was a totally different company. It was totally disguised so much that even when Doc was telling me about it in the beginning, I said, I'm moving in a certain direction. I've got my company, I'm working, and blah, 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 blah. I didn't see it. It was totally disguised. But that opportunity, that project that Doc brought to me within a very short amount of time, not only allowed me to achieve my initial definite major purpose, but actually more than double it within a very short amount of time. So just a miraculous experience for me, and a real life example that happened that illustrates exactly what we're talking about here. When opportunity comes, it often disguises itself and appears in a different form and from a different direction. Very, very key point.
Hey, Paul?
Yes.
You know, what you just said is so key, and I get an opportunity to talk to a lot of people, and they've been in other opportunities or other businesses, and you go to talk to them, and they're negative, or they're not open, or, I've been there, I've done that. And I think one of the mistakes that many of us make is we don't learn from our experiences. A lot of failure is not failure. It's a teaching and training and learning point. If we take advantage of that, if we learned the lesson that needed to be learned with that particular thing, and you total and add those things together, that's where your success is going to come from. But to quit, to give up, to say that I tried that, I already know, I've been there, major mistake on so many people's parts. Back to you.
Great points, Melvin. Appreciate that.
This is Rick again. I went back looking for this timeline, and I was wondering if Doc wasn't talking actually about the time in the year when this was happening. Wasn't it really right about in the early 1900s, somewhere about there?
That's when it did happen, huh?
Yeah, in the timeline, was it I know that he talked about 30 years ago when he wrote the book, and he said a little bit earlier than 30 years ago, Barnes was seeking to go into business with Edison. And so I know that it took Napoleon Hill, 25 years to research his book. And, he said a little bit about 30 years ago. So this book came out, 1937, right? Wasn't it 37 somewhere? 30s in the 30s, right? So it could have been right after, like it could have been right around the time that Ford came out. If you look at those times, that's when like Ford made the Model T. You know, when those discovery, Marconi was 1928, the radio. But that's an interesting thing about Marconi, because if you think about those times, and those era where he discovered radio, and his friends thought he was nuts, so they called. He went to the psychiatric ward because they thought he was nuts. His close friends thought he was crazy, going crazy when he said that. So during those times, those are when a lot of creations start to take place. And in order for you to create, you have to be thinking. It's made up of thinking, right? So the thoughts. You have to be thinking deeply and wanting something to happen, wanting to make a difference somehow, wanting to create rather than competing. So if you're there worrying about what you don't have and this, that, and the other, when you start believing that you can create and that you have the power to create, then and believing you have it, then things start happening. So around that time was probably also during the Depression times, right? I'm not really well-versed in that era, but I thought it was somewhere Depression started, like 1916, somewhere about there. But it's kind of similar to what's happening now, right? Because the movement, this personal development movement started back in the 20s and when things were going in the dips. And so when you really start to think about it in this book and the principles, things start happening in these times, right? So we're thinking that there's an opportunity. When you think things are really at the worst, it's when your opportunity comes. Like right now, people can say economy is this and that, but it's really when you start looking, then that you start to see opportunities. Why? Because you're looking to create. You're looking for something, and so it's contrast. It's really a right around. This is the same thing that's been happening around those times in the early 1900s.
Rick, I love how you pointed that out, that, you know, Napoleon's talking about opportunity is often disguised and it looks like failure, and that's a great point. Where we're at right now with our economy, most people are running around saying the sky is falling, build a bunker, the end is near. You know, that's a failure. That's tough times if I ever saw it. But those of us who understand what Napoleon is talking about here know that there are opportunities, because opportunity is often disguised. Doc, maybe you could elaborate a little bit more on your thoughts on that timeline comment you made earlier.
Well, the people have brought out exactly what I was pointing out, that just because we think something, that doesn't mean that it's going to instantly manifest. And for instance, if thoughts became things in an instant, you know, it would be quite disturbing if we were riding down the street in our automobile and thought of an elephant, and suddenly there was an elephant either in the car or immediately in front of the car. So, you know, there's a timeline involved. But the main point on that is that the persistence, as you've pointed out, the burning desire, you have fleshed out the other real important principles involved with having a major definite person, and that is the ability to have persistence and continue to move towards a purpose with determination over time. And then the last thing John from Chicago pointed out was really the third key element, is that we can't dictate desire is going to become manifest in our life. And that's the mistake that most of us make. We set a goal. I want to make $3,000 a month, and then we make it so rigid. I want to make $3,000 from XYZ company in 10 months. And sometimes that, you know, if it's a realistic goal, if it's actually an achievable goal, then those are excellent goals. But the real message here is to simply have faith. Ask, have faith, develop the desire, have a persistent belief in that faith. Because, you know, a belief is just a thought that we keep thinking. It's a thought that we think over and over again. And it is a persistence in thought which converts it to belief. And it's actually belief that we manifest. And if we have a self-limiting belief, it becomes an inhibitory force to manifestation of that which we seek. If we have a, let's see where I'm going with this, because I just want to keep it in terms. I think I've already expressed it. It is, don't try and dictate exactly the method by which your major burning desire will be delivered to you by the universe or by God, because we don't often know the final form. It's only that when it occurs, we are aware of it, and it may come through a completely different venue than what we were initially pursuing, and that's the message in Barnes's story.
Appreciate those thoughts, Doc. A couple of things I wanted to throw out there also. Just a couple important things for all of us to remember. Desire can be cultivated. That's one of the major lessons we're going to continue to learn in this book as we go through this. If you're starting out with a major definite purpose and maybe your desire is weak, that's okay, because we all have that. We all have that, you know, where we've got a desire and it's not a strong desire. And fortunately, Napoleon is going to teach us in this book how to take that weak desire and turn it into a white-hot burning desire that will fuel us and push us forth. I also love, you know, Doc Franz talking a little bit about beliefs, and one of the beliefs that I have had ingrained in my soul from this book is one of the other points we're talking about today, and that is opportunity is often disguised in defeat and temporary setback. And from my study of this book, one of the things that's happened to me is I've learned to look at setbacks and failures as temporary setbacks, and to such a degree where I rarely ever talk about the negative things that happen in my business. And the other day I was talking to Melvin, and you know, I told Melvin a couple of things that had happened. He's like, Paul, you need to talk about this stuff more. He's like, people need to know that you have these temporary setbacks in your life, and that it's not just all peaches and roses all the time. I just want to throw that out there, because it's something that can happen to each of us. We'll all get to a point where every time an obstacle comes in our lives, or a little, you know, a setback or a brick wall or whatever, we'll get to the point where we have this belief where we get to that and we just look at it and say, oh, I know what you are. You're a temporary setback. Let me get my bulldozer and plow you out of my way so I can keep on moving forward, or let me run around you, or let me figure out a way to get right through you, and it won't stop you and it won't knock you out of the game like it does for so many people. That's one of the reasons people fail, is they set a goal, they join a business, and then that first roadblock comes, that first no, or that first, you're doing what? Are you kidding? You're doing one of those things, and that brick wall is in front of them, and they just cannot fathom how to get through that wall or around it, so they turn around and they go home and they go back to the job that they don't like, or they go back to the life that they're not satisfied with. But this burning desire, this definite major purpose, this burning desire, learning to recognize opportunity in these brick walls and learning how to get around them, it's so amazing what happens to you. I mean, you'll become this force where you just know that anything you want, you can have in your life. It's the most amazing things, and it's one of the reasons I love this book, and it's one of the reasons we do this call every morning. It's because it's the most amazing thing to get in this state of being where you are just in this zone where you can get to wherever you want to go, and I'm so excited that we're all learning this together.
Good morning, Paul. This is Marlene.
Hey, Marlene.
I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts, too.
Please.
Always love lefties. As a matter of fact, I was going to talk about something else, but especially when you brought this up and everybody about the burning desire, because I think back when I was about 7 years old, standing in the harbor of Hamburg and seeing one of these big ocean liners leaving the harbor. And I remember asking my mother, I said, and everybody, and you heard the music playing, Auf Wiedersehen, you know, and heard the band playing, and you saw all the people, the railing and waving their handkerchiefs, said, Mom, where's that big ship going? Where are those people going? I said, they're going to America. America. So, of course, I want to know where that was. And from that point on, I just knew I wanted to see the world. I want to go to America. And so even while the next several years, I know when I was 9, 10, 11 years old, I would never let go of that. I would pray about it. I would read about it. And I would actually get neighboring families excited about immigrating. So we had, you know, some friends were immigrating to Australia, a couple of other families left for Canada. And then, of course, I also had an aunt who had married an American and actually then also lived over here. And I thought, well, you know, and so I started actually writing letters to the different people, South Africa, wherever I knew acquaintances who had immigrated there, because I figured I need to find a way to get to one of those countries. And so even though my father passed away, was only 16, my mother still would give me permission. I needed her permission to leave before I was 21, because we didn't have those school exchanges, the student exchanges, none of that. It was right after the war. So it was like an unbelievable goal that would be very difficult. But I did immigrate at 17 and a half without my family, but my mother would not let me go without my brother. So I had to work on him for a whole year to get him excited and interested. And I filled out all the formulas also for him. And I just realized that I would just, you know, have that dream and think about it. Say, gosh, when the sun comes up here, you know, it goes down, you know, somewhere behind the ocean in America. And so, of course, then I found a way through an acquaintance of my mother who was willing to sponsor my brother and me. And this is how I landed over here. Of course, those times changed years later, but I didn't know whether I would ever see my family again at that time. I was just so, you know, excited. So in any case, that is like one thing that I was going to point out, a couple of other things. But it just made me realize again, gosh, I didn't know about these principles, of course, right? But it was that dream, and I just held on to it. And God just provides in some way, and also completely differently from what I even expected, because I thought my aunt would sponsor me, who was not interested. But God provides a different opportunity for you to really make that particular dream come true for you. So what I wanted to point out is that, especially in the other company, we heard that a lot. If you have that major definite purpose and that big goal, okay, it means you need to pay a price. And I had an offspring director in that company, and for her, that was a message to say, well, I'm not willing to pay that price. I have a family, I have 4 children. I don't want to have to work, you know, from morning till night, 7 days a week. So I'm not willing to pay the price. So what I've come to call this acting, especially with the company that we have found, right, the last several months, that we can enjoy the price, because it's so different. If you truly love what you are doing, you love doing it on a daily basis, you never work a day in your life, right? And so I'm enjoying whatever it takes, and which means always making new friends, going out there, offering something so incredible that we know everybody can benefit from. And I realized, looking back when I was in the other company, it was strictly actually for women, I thought, wow, if we had a product, if we had an opportunity, that would really be great for every person, not just you know, for particular women and, you know, who have that particular interest. And realized when I learned about our particular opportunity last year, this is what I used to dream about. And it's like a dream come true, because I was not, you know, I was retired and just working voluntarily in a spiritual healing group.
Oh,
you
found me on the hill?
Star 6, please. We're getting background noise.
Oh.
Press star 6 on your line.
I got to get...
I'm also...
Sorry, Marlise. Are you still there? Marlise, press star 6 if you would, please.
Hear me now?
Yes, there you go. Sorry about
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah, so I realized when this was presented to me, I was not into it. I had given everything away, motivation, inspiration, everything to do with business. But when that was offered to me, I just knew, hey, this is actually an answer to prayers, wanting to help masses of people, everyone. I said, this is an answer to prayer. This is what I always had wanted. How can I say no? and this is just something that came back to me. This always used to be my thought, my dream. Wow, wouldn't it be great? And here we actually have actually a visionary who wanted to provide a vehicle like that for that really is helps and supports and makes a difference in the lives of everyone. So it's so beautiful. And then just one quick thing, I know it's a lot, but I received a video yesterday, a YouTube video, about Tony Robbins interviewing a 108-year-old lady who is a Holocaust survivor and a wonderful pianist. And even at 108, she's still playing the piano 3 hours every day. And how she really not just survived, but has been thriving even in those years in the concentration camp, because she said, we didn't really need much food. The music was our food. And said, and I was lucky that I was born an optimist. He said, as soon as my mom pushed me out, he said, I've been laughing and I've been happy. And so she says, I just had to cry. I was so touched. What a beautiful, beautiful story and message that she has. And she does not and never hated anyone. She said, there's good in every person and bad in every person. But she said, you always just concentrate on the good, and you, even just a good word from someone or that you can give to someone, what a difference it makes for someone else. And the music, she said, it is just truly like, yeah, the greatest gift, obviously. But a beautiful, beautiful, inspiring story, and that's what this is all about. So thank you so much for allowing me to even share this much.
Thank you, Marlise. Really appreciate those thoughts and your experiences of how your definite purpose and your burning desire brought you to America. I really like the point you made about just because we have to pay the price doesn't mean the price has to be not enjoyable. We can enjoy the price. Great thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Marlise, this is Anita. I appreciate all. I just love listening to you. You're so great. You just keep up sharing, okay? Thanks.
Thanks, Anita. Any other comments here? Star 6.
I had a thought here since nobody is getting on the call. And the thought is this, my friends. I think it's an important, you're going to find that it's important. The principles here, that anything that comes easy is generally comes washed out. But here's the thing is, you got to accept that success is an uphill battle all the way. So somewhere along the lines, if you think life is easy and you think, well, things are going to fall together, pretty much we know that anything that falls together pretty much falls apart. You have to accept this as a way of life. You can start today. It's never too late to start. That you have to keep on going. I have the opportunity of racing cars all the time, and I have actually put a lot of experience from racing cars and learned so much. You won't even understand that this call has helped me put together the experiences that I've learned about racing cars and life is so important. For example, it's not how fast you get in the corner, but how fast you get out. And everybody experiences this because everybody owns a car. If your tires are too bald and slippery, well, you're probably gonna crash. So if things come to you too easily, for example, somebody talked about winning the lottery, it's just gonna go away pretty quickly. You need friction for things to stick. You need gravity for the plane to take off. You know, so accept, once you start accepting that it's not going to be easy and it's going to be a constant battle for joy, then you're going to start to find ways to enjoy. But never forget that today is the only day we have. Today, live for today, for it is life. Thank you.
Thanks, Rick. One thing I'll throw out there is, you know, Jim Rohn said that all good things are located upstream from us, and I think that's a little bit about what Rick was talking about. You know, anything that's worthwhile is going to have we're going to have to break through. We're going to have to endure a little bit of growing pains. But one thing that I will say is, it's not always an uphill battle in the sense that, once you learn to have a definite major purpose, once you learn to nourish that burning desire, once you learn to have persistence, once you gain the skills that you need to gain in a certain area, things can get very, very easy. And Melvin, a while back, shared a concept. He said the things that we think are easy is really the hard road, and the things that we think are hard are really the easy road. And he was talking about, you know, how sometimes you think, well, it's just easier to sit down and watch TV every day when I get home from work. That's the easy road. But really, folks, it's the hard road, because that's the road that's going to keep people broke. That's the road that's going to keep people's dreams smashed. The hard road, people look at, oh, pick up the phone, talk to people, learn how to communicate. That's hard. But you know what? I'm here to tell you, that's really the easy road, because that's where prosperity lies. That's where lives of abundance. That's where impacting others in a positive way. That's where getting up at 5 in the morning, just being excited about life. That's where that lies. So I do agree with the things that Rick was saying, that we do have to go through some growing pains, but it doesn't always have to be an uphill battle, and it won't. Once we learn to live in this certain way, as Wallace Waddles shares with us in The Science of Getting Rich, we truly do become citizens of another kingdom. Any closing thoughts? We've got about 3 minutes here before we're going to end the call.
Hi, my name's Marcia.
Hi, Marcia.
Hi, and this is the first time I'm on the call. I want to thank you all for having this call, and thank my friend Lori Larson for consistently sending me information about 124. I'm not in the company yet, but I can see how what I'm grateful for is the mindset that you're sharing, the concepts that you're sharing this morning. I can see the truth to some of the changes that have been going on in my life and some of the opportunities that I have, even a job that may even end up being one disappeared. I'm not going to take that as failure. I'm going to take it as opportunity. The next day, within the day before it disappeared, another one had appeared. And, you know, the fellow might be paying only $10 an hour for a while instead of $15, but that situation, you know, and it's a job. But what I needed, rather than, you know, passive income, but what training is there available in that job? What you know, looking at a deeper level, the mindset that I would be practicing, learning to use a computer more effectively and working with a word program. I've been a school librarian, and I think I might like to write books or help compile books. That's what this person is doing. I would be doing as an assistant. So the particulars of my situation aren't important, but what I see that this call is helping me with is finding the opportunity in a situation, training myself, you know, getting more clear on what my on what my goal is. What are we calling it? Persistent major goal? Definite major goal?
Purpose. Definite major purpose.
Definite major purpose. You know, it's there are just several things in the call that will help are helping me see the mindset I want to continually be developing, as well as the desire, and how it's something for me. When Rick was talking about things like resistance and friction, I could see I want to develop a more consistent workout program. So that's one of the places where I'm going to be doing that. But, you know, kind of surrender and give myself over to the work and the pleasure of the workout and getting strong and being able to keep going for something that I want looks like a process I want to surrender to, because I realize it's going to be bringing me, even the process of doing it is going to be bringing me things I want. And I also think, mentioning the word momentum is important here in terms of going from that, well, we have the desire, the situation hasn't presented itself yet. You know, the end goal is not apparent, but we are setting a mindset, holding on to a goal, clarifying our purpose and working towards it, being persistent, that will, and doing actions that when we, you know, are aware of them and realizing what the role of our choices is. Sometimes what seems to be more difficult or more easy might actually not be the best choices compared to something more difficult. So I hope you can tell from the things I mentioned how much I got out of the call. I just want to thank you all for making this available, and my friend Lori for inviting me and consistently, persistently sharing the opportunity of this company with me.
Marcia, thank you so much. I couldn't think of a better way to end the call, because you encapsulated a lot of what we talked about, and even more than that, your story or the things you shared, that's why we do this call. It's to help myself, you, Lori, Doc Fran, Rick, Melvin. We've got so many people on this call, and we're going to get more. We're getting more daily. It's to help all of us develop this mindset that you're talking about, this unstoppable mindset that will power us, fuel us, get us where we want and need to go, get us to the place that Jim Rohn calls the good life. And what's fascinating to me is all of these laws. See, I don't know. Marcia, where are you calling in from?
Calling from Denver, Colorado.
Denver, Colorado. You're in Denver, Colorado. I'm in Southeast Idaho. Rick's in California. Doc Fran's in Florida. Melvin's in Chicago. We're all over the United States, but you know what? The things we're talking about here, they're fundamental truths. They're fundamental principles. They're laws, and we're all working. We're all living on the same earth, and we're all learning how to understand and apply these laws, and that is a beautiful thing. So appreciate everyone for being on the call. Great discussion. Let's get out there and have a definite major purpose. Let's cultivate desire. Let's be persistent. And I'm looking forward to seeing each of you back on the call this tomorrow as we continue on our quest for mining out these laws and these principles from this amazing book, Think and Grow Rich, and applying them into our lives. Love you. Appreciate you. Have faith in you. Make it a great day, my friends. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning. Take care.
Thanks, Paul, and everybody. Bye.